This is Rachel C. Swanson, and you're listening to the Refine and Restore podcast. This is the podcast where I help strip away the lies that are holding you back and restore your heart and mind back to what is true. From faith, relationships, purposeful living, personal and spiritual growth insights, this podcast is designed to provide inspiration and encouragement to help you grow into the person that you are meant to be. It's episode 2, and I am sharing a deeply personal story in this one today. It is about our journey that we went on when we heard God's voice in our life and we followed the plan that we felt like He had for us. And at the end of it, it did not go as planned. And it made us question whether or not God was really in it, whether or not we had made the entire thing up, whether or not God really spoke to us and if He still speaks today. And just had us go on a wrestling journey of who God really is. And I want to invite you into this journey with me today through this story. It goes a tiny bit longer than normal, but I really believe it's worth it. You will find yourself at the end understanding a little bit of what I went through, and hopefully it'll inspire you and encourage you if you're facing some similar story as well. This is going to be a really difficult story for me to share. It's a story about how a few years back, God put on our hearts to begin the journey of finding a child in the foster system and pursuing foster adoption. And this is one of those stories that's difficult to share because there are so many instances in our journey and our story that is going to be difficult for people to believe. That is something we experienced and figured out as we continue to move around that journey or move through that journey for the next 2 to 3 years. It started back in 2014, and it was about a few months after my daughter was born. And my husband has a journal that he's always allowed me to be able to look at. At this time, there was one morning where I went downstairs and it was early in the morning and his journal was laying out and I was just kind of passing by. And again, we have a relationship where we don't really hide anything. So I wasn't really trying to look, but I was just kind of looking because the page was open from when he last wrote something. And what I saw hit me in a way that, you know, when you read something in the Bible or read something and you're like, that is totally true. God kind of convicts you with a passage or a verse and you just know that to be true, but you're almost scared to believe it. That is what happened when I read, again, not saying that what my husband wrote was the Bible or is from necessarily from God, but he wrote something and in there that had my name. And since I saw my name, I kept reading. And it was basically a prayer that I would soften my heart towards the idea of foster adopting, finding a little girl that's born on my daughter's birthday, her long lost twin sister in the foster system. And this is something that apparently my husband felt like God had shared with him and told him that we were to start pursuing for a little girl that's Aria's, you know, twin, not really her twin, but you know, a twin in the foster system, one that's born on her birthday, and that we were going to pursue a foster adoption with her. When that happened, first of all, you got to hear the context is that I had 21-month-old twin boys who were still in diapers, and my daughter was 2 to 3 months old at the time, also in diapers. So I had 3 children under 2 years old in diapers. I was up to my ears in baby stuff, bottles and spit up and sleepless nights. I was exhausted. And so the thought of adding another child into our home, I was like, no, I just did not see any possibility. So I actually got really mad and told him he cannot, because I told him later, I said, you know, I read it and you cannot be praying or, you know, sure, you can pray about it secretly, but do not address this to me ever. Like, don't talk to me about it. If it's really what God wants us to do, then He will have to convict me Himself. That's how nice I was. So as we continued to move forward through the next several months and he never said anything. However, the next 6 months, I was probably approached so many times or fell across certain articles or some things. In some way, things just continued to happen where all of a sudden I'd hear of my friend who was pursuing fostering or another friend was pursuing adoption, or I'd read an adoption article and, you know, or just come across one randomly, or I'd see a little child out and about at the park and found out that they were adopted. And so just continued to stir in my heart this thought of like, maybe we are to pursue this. And I started to feel like my heart shifted to a place of, I want to help love on and care for another child. It was really bizarre because I was so adamant from before, but guess what? Within 6 to 8 months, I felt like it was time to pursue it. I'll pass through a lot of details, but we started the process to pursue the foster adoption journey. And when we decided to go to our first meeting for an organization that does adoption, which again, my husband heard on the radio and just felt like that was a good place to start, we started to pursue it. And before we showed up to the first meeting, my husband and I, we both prayed, Lord, would you just give us three signs that you are in this and that this is what you've called us to. As we moved through the meeting and got completely overwhelmed with the first meeting, it was at the end of the meeting when we told them our story and what we were looking for, which of course they looked at us with eyes wide like saucers, thinking we were crazy, which I get it, looking for literally specifically a girl on the exact birthday of my daughters is a little bit like winning the lottery, almost less likely than that. And so they looked at us and they said, we were founded on miracle. And Jeff and I looked at each other and there was this special ring to it, right? Where we felt like God told us, pay attention, that's your first sign. So we took that. And then there were two other signs. And for just lack of time, but he showed us two more signs. And again, we were like, all right, you know, it was that same day. And it just felt like those were from God, that it was confirmation. We continued moving through the process of getting our house ready. And in California, we live in California, it is really, really difficult. There is so much red tape when it comes to the foster system and all the things that you have to prepare your home for. It is really different than a lot of other states. It took us about a year, I think, or almost a year and a half to get fully certified. That was just such a process. And then we kind of waited. Once we were certified, we waited. We were just looking for the girl that was born on December 18, 2013. It was a little challenging to hold on to. And we continued to wonder, are we really being crazy in this? Is God really in this? Did he really tell us to do this? There are so many times we've vacillated back and forth, wondering if we were really doing the right thing, wondering if this was really from God. But giving you context, there have been multiple times in our life where the Spirit of God has moved in our hearts or spoken to us in a specific way. And those things have come to fruition. It was the same voice that was leading us now. We continue to trust in faith that God would show up and that he could provide the miracle. And it was growing our faith in so many ways. We were seeing God move in many different ways. We just felt really spiritually alive during that time, alive with trusting him. And there were multiple confirmations that showed up. So we kept moving forward and we got to this point where, after praying and seeking God, and there was another moment where it felt really clear that God told us that this girl that was happened to be born on the same day as my daughter, we felt very clear that he said, okay, she's going to be showing up on a specific date in time. That was quite the thought, right? And I know you guys have thought of or like seen all those people that are always claiming when the end days or end times are going to be or whatnot, right? And they have a date and, you know, that passes and nothing ever happens, right? So it was quite a stretch for us to even think, because I've never really believed that. But of course, I told my husband and, you know, we talked about it and we both agreed it felt like from God, but we kept it to ourselves because obviously we were like, okay, we don't want to tell everybody. And then a few months went by and we felt like God had told us that we need to start sharing it with others in faith that this would happen. And that was the scariest thought ever, you guys, because here's the reason. If we were to share it that this was actually going to happen and it didn't, we were putting ourselves in a situation where we could look like a laughingstock. It could look like we were not telling the truth or that God really isn't who he says he is. But by sharing it, you know, there's a huge faith element to that, right? Of believing that God really did speak to us and share that with us and tell us. And so, and we wanted to kind of bring our friends in with that. And we thought, how amazing would it be if we did share this with others and God shows up and, you know, it's even more powerful if we shared it and then that happened, you know, instead of us sharing later that God had told us this and not everybody would know. And so we in faith decided to go ahead and say that for many of our friends and share it much more publicly, that this was going to happen, that in faith we believed that she was going to come on a certain date. And fast forward, what happened was really heartbreaking for us because we got to that date and by the time midnight had passed and it was 12:01, 12:02, 12:03, and once it was 12:30 midnight and we realized we weren't getting a call and she wasn't here, it was utterly devastating. It really was. And the way that I want to help you understand, and you may, I hope you don't take offense to this, but this is just the emotional state that we were in. It felt like, it's kind of like if you were to get pregnant with your first child or whatever child it is, and you have 9 months to prepare, and you're preparing it all and you're preparing in your heart and you get to the day that she's supposed to or he's supposed to arrive and your child is born stillbirth. The child is dead. And that is how it felt. It felt like we lost a child. And as the weeks went by and we heard nothing, we really were devastated, and it brought us into a place of really wrestling and questioning God and questioning the Holy Spirit and going on a journey after that even to really determine and figure out who is God really? Is this really him? Was there a problem? Like, did we do something wrong? And although God challenged my husband and I in different ways, and I won't speak for him, but for me, God later on kind of revealed to me something that is similar to Jonah in the Bible. Jonah, now what he did, Jonah was a man who God called out to him saying to go to a certain place and he ran away from it, you know, for a while. And I kind of liken that to me when I read that God wanted us to pursue foster adoption, I ran away from that. I was like, no, Lord. And he continued to track me down and encourage me and show up different places and say, hey, like, this is what you're going to do, until it made really clear sense that we needed to pursue it. Then when we were to share that this was going to happen, that something was going to happen, I liken it to Jonah, who also said, you know what? This is going to happen to the city. He went to the city of Nineveh. He told them what God had told them, that they were really, that the city of Nineveh was going to be overthrown. Everyone was going to perish. But the king of Nineveh, he believed him, actually, first of all, believed Jonah to be true, believed that what Jonah said was from God. But what the king did, he decided to repent, turn from their evil ways. And this might be a little different, is because, you know, the king or God wanted them to repent from their ways. But here's the thing. God, when he saw them turning from their ways and believing him and listening to him, in his mercy, he changed his mind. It seems like it changed his mind, right? Because originally God says that he was going to have the whole entire city perish. And Jonah believed it. And he went through with it and he shared that that was going to happen. And then guess what? God's like, now that I see the repentance, I'm not going to have them all die. And Jonah got upset. It says that he was angry because probably in the same way that I can think how I was angry with God, like, why did you change your mind with this? Like, why did you tell us that this was going to happen and then it didn't? What went wrong? And we got really upset and angry at God. And for a while, we had no idea if God was even trustworthy again. We thought maybe we made this all up. We thought maybe God isn't really who he's cracked up to be. There's so much I should and could unpack with this, but let me just tell you one thing that God shared with me and that maybe this will help you too. But what he taught me was that I was more focused at some point in the process, even though my heart was truly, I believe, in the beginning, sincere. I believe my heart shifted in the middle of the process with the excitement of having this girl show up on a certain day. And I feel like I was more excited and focused on the miracle rather than the relationship with God. I wanted so much to see the miracle that I forgot about God altogether. I wanted the miracle to happen, and I kind of forgot that God was more important, that even if not, right? But if not, God is still good. God is still good. And so because I got caught up so much on the miracle of him rather than the actual connection with him, I believe there are very, very many reasons that God pulled away, or really maybe it was always meant to be that this was never going to happen, but he wanted to work on our character more than letting us have that miracle. And I still believe that it's possible that she could show up someday. I just don't believe, obviously, it's not going to be through this, because we eventually a year later, we pulled away from the foster system. We just didn't feel like that was where we needed to be anymore, that we were trying. At that point, it felt like we were just kind of pushing and hoping something would happen rather than allowing God to work. And so we pulled back, and for very many reasons, it was the right reason decision. And since then, we haven't pursued it again. We may, I'm not sure, but it doesn't feel like it's necessary right now. And it may not ever be necessary. I'm just not sure. What I can tell you is that, and I hope you believe me when I say it, is that while God may speak to your heart and say something that, I don't know, maybe it's in the future, or maybe it's going to happen, or maybe you'll get pregnant and have a baby, things just might happen unexpectedly. Things can still happen unexpectedly. And it doesn't mean, though, that God was not in it. And I want to emphasize that if you're in your own journey and you're wondering if God was really in this, or if God is even listening, or if God, all those things that you thought were not a coincidence, and now you're wondering, you know, maybe it was a coincidence because things didn't turn out the way I anticipated. Don't dismiss the fact that God is still working, and that he may very well, and most likely, and actually I believe he probably was, he really was in those moments with you and did tell you to do something, or did tell you something was going to happen. And yet there are certain things that we just don't understand sometimes, or don't see the full picture of. And there are reasons for him to pull back, or to shift, change directions, or to do something that we don't otherwise truly understand in the moment. But over time, when you look back, you will start to see reasons why God did what he did. It doesn't mean it's not going to be still painful. I still feel the pain of what we went through. I feel the pain of embarrassment. I feel the pain of wondering if I made it all up. But God has continued to prove to me that we did not make things up. There is still one thing I hold on to that he told me, and is proof that this is not all just some made up type of thing. A few months before that date came and went, God told me a name for this little girl. He told me through prayer, through intense prayer time, I asked God if he could just give me a name. And when he gave me the name of this girl that I was supposed to pray for, he told me not to tell anyone about it, not even my own husband. And so I didn't. And it wasn't until after this event came and passed and it didn't happen, right? None of that stuff happened. And I wondered, man, I must have made all this up. 1 week later, a dear, dear friend of mine was for whatever reason, just to kind of shorten the story again, but she overheard somebody talking in a waiting room about a child that she was going to name. She was pregnant and she said the name, and for some reason she just, my friend knew that she needed to hear what that name was again, because what the lady said, she put the, talked about the meaning of the name, not the actual name itself. And so she went over and she asked her and she said, excuse me, what's the name of, you know, the daughter or the little baby that you're planning on naming again? And the lady told her, and this friend of mine immediately knew that she had to go tell me about this name. She just knew. God told her right away, this is the name, and Rachel needs to know that this is the name I had shared with her and that she's not crazy. So within 15 minutes, she called me, she came over, and she told me, she said, hey, I know you had mentioned to me that you that God gave you a name and you've never told anybody about it, but she's all, I think I might know what it is, and I want to ask because I feel like God told me to tell you, to ask and tell you the name. And she sat there and she looked at me, and as I was just still super broken and angry, she told me, was it Eliana? Chills and fury and shock and every single emotion went through my body in that instant. And I looked at her in shocking awe and said, how did you know that? And she said, oh my God, it's true. And she proceeded to tell me, and I am crying and she is crying. And then we both are crying and I'm just still in shock and awe. And the point of it afterwards, when I'm thinking through this, is God told me not to say anything because he already knew this thing was going to happen. He already knew it wasn't going to turn out the way that I thought it was going to go. And he needed me to know a week after that I was not out of line, that he really was in this, that he did speak to me and he did communicate things with me, and that the same voice that told me that to hold on to the name of Eliana was the same voice that told me that she was going to arrive on a certain day. And I believe he did that so that he would help me know that all of this was not for nothing, and that we were not crazy to think this, and that he really was speaking and he really was moving. And for reasons we may not ever know, he did not have that move forward in the way that we thought it would go. And so you need to know that. You need to know that the present situation that you're going through, it doesn't mean that he is not there. It doesn't mean just if something didn't happen the way you thought it was going to go, that he is not there with you, and that he does not still work, and that he doesn't have another plan that will maybe glorify all the more, may still be painful, but he can bring goodness and amazing character growth and understanding about him and his word and how you do life with him through those painful, uncomfortable, questioning moments. And I wish I could go into more detail. I'll have to do a part two sometime about this later. But just know that God is real. He does communicate with us. And you can trust that he does have your best interests in mind, even when you go through some painful moments and you don't understand it. He is still good. He is still good. Just tell yourself that he is still good and he's still working and that you can trust in him. Do you have a message on your heart to share, but you have no idea where to start? Maybe you enjoy writing and have thought of writing a book before, but feel overwhelmed by the process of it or feel stuck right now and don't know what your next step is. Or maybe you are feeling stagnant in your faith, unsure of what your purpose is. I know what that used to feel like, and that's why I'm now here to help mentor you through the process. Grab one of my free discovery calls by going to my coaching page, rachelcswanson.com/coaching, and check out the types of coaching I have to offer. As always, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook using my name, Rachel C. Swanson. Can't wait to connect with you.